I saw on the big board, I think UT had 5 the first half, which was not many. So they definitely didn't get after defensively. But, you know, it's hard to, you know, scout UT tonight as far as Jordan Bone, because who would have thought that he'd had the great effort that he had tonight, except like Coach Jones mentioned earlier about the UT Chattanooga game. But, whoa, what a game to step it up in his backyard in Nashville. You know, he grew up seeing and hearing about Vanderbilt his whole life, as well as UT. But to be able to, you know, to be able to play as well as he did in his backyard, I saw his assistant coach here this evening as well, and he was really proud of Jordan. I know a lot of people in the Nashville area are really proud of him.
Yeah, he had Tennessee had 6 turnovers tonight, Griff, in that game. Wow. 6. I mean, you talk about playing a perfect game on somebody. Isn't that about as close as it comes?
Yeah, and what scared me was I didn't know how they were going to react when Fisher Davis got his technical foul.
Yeah,
in the second half. I thought that was the turning point in Tennessee's favor, because I was afraid, oh, they're going to make a run.
Yeah.
And Vanderbilt was, I don't know if you noticed this, but they were playing man-to-man before that. When he came out, they switched to a zone. And I thought, well, they're going to change the tempo, make Tennessee hit, you know, shots from the outside, make their Vandy run.
Yep.
With their three-point shooting that they do so well. And it just never materialized.
Let's get our next call in. Jonesy, you have any thoughts for the great Marky Boy Griffin before I go to the phones? Get our next call in.
Oh, well, I know Mark is, you know, being a former Vol, is very proud to come away with the victory. Obviously, me being a former volunteer and a VFL myself, anytime that you could beat Vanderbilt in anything, it's icing on the cake. And it was good to hear that, you know, those Commodores exited the game prior to the final horn going off, and you seen that orange, and I watched it on TV. I seen my buddy Earl and Judy, whose mainstays in the basketball and football arena. I seen them behind the bench. And that made me very happy.
Oh, they're the best. We've got our own. Let's go back to the phones and get our next call in. The great Marky Boy Griffin, the great Tony Jones, Earl and Judy get a mention tonight by name. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
The moon's over Miami over here in the Montañas, and that game won. Makes me want to come back again and again
and again.
And again. Guys, in all seriousness, that was, I mean, I understand a progression, but that was like night and day. I mean, turnover city to ice in the veins for Josh Bone. And of all the plays, guys, how about there was one thing that alley-ooped to Hubs. And Hubs has got a pure shot, and somebody called him out because he took it to the basket and played really well, too. That was sort of hidden in there. He played really well and played a role but stepped up when he needed to. But how about Bone's pass on the fast break, splitting two guys with this sort of left-hand, two-handed pass, cutting the lane like Isaiah Thomas-esque, my childhood hero? How about, I mean, he just was ice in the veins tonight like a veteran. What do you think?
Tony, hard to play better than Bone played tonight, isn't it?
I mean, you can't come up with a better stat line. I mean, 23 points, 4 or 5, 3. I'm not sure what his actual field goal percentage was. But the main thing is one turnover. And he handled the ball. He was the straw to stir to drink as it pertained to getting the ball to Hug. In the middle, getting the ball to Grant Williams, getting the ball to Admiral Schofield, making that next pass with those 5 assists. And, you know, when you have your point guard, which is your quarterback, which is usually your leader, out there playing well, it gives all the other players confidence. And then they step up their game. And that's what you saw tonight. And I'm really happy for him. He's a mid-state kid. I'm sure. I don't know if Vanderbilt recruited him or not. I'm sure that would have been one of his schools that he considered if they did recruit him. But if they didn't recruit him, this was something that he will savor and he will cherish every game that he plays against the Commodores during his career.
You better darn believe that. Anything else for us tonight? Thanks for the great call.
Yeah, just you know, Vandy's got the names. They may not have the record, but they've got the seniority and the names, and we come out and do that to them. That's the refreshing flip to football when you think we're experienced and they've got the young people. So huge, huge win, and you know, we'll keep this going. I appreciate it, guys. You being on here at 11:10 on a Saturday night.
Yeah,
huge
thanks.
Win, because big time stuff. It reminds me of you know, Tony White growing up, Allen Houston, you go through your ups and downs and you think you got nothing. You're going to be bottom of the barrel. And we better not lose to Missouri. We better not lose to Missouri. And Texas A&M's garbage. So I think we can have a good year getting the NIT, get a few home games and see what happens.
That'd be fun, man.
Have a good night, guys.
That would be a really fun, way to end this season would be, getting to the NIT. And Mark Griffin, I think that's very much a goal that's in play for this basketball team. I mean, they're certainly in this league, they're certainly good enough to stay around 500 and get maybe a little over 500 by year's end, don't you think?
Yes, but I'm sure their goal is not to go to the NIT, Tony. Obviously, their goal is to go to the NCAA, but that'd be a nice fallback goal to make it into the NIT. So let's clarify that.
My goal is to wake up with a washboard stomach tomorrow. So, I mean, you know, you gotta.
That ain't happening.
Well, thank you. Let's go back to our phones. By the way, the great Tony Jones joining, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402 is our number. It is your Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. My name is Tony Basilio. He is the great Tony Jones, and Mark Griffin tonight at the ball game himself. Great win for the Vols. Hard to believe you could see a better basketball game from that than this year. I mean, that was about a perfect performance. Let's get our next call in. As we welcome in our next call, hello and welcome in on your Smart Way, Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Hey, John Sweet.
Hey, buddy, welcome in.
Yes, sir. Hey, let me ask you guys this. Did Barnes look more subdued to you guys tonight? And it could have been because they were winning. But it didn't seem like he was, you know, barking at the guys as he usually is, or, you know, kind of maybe right up in the guy's face at times. And I thought it might have had something to do with the positioning of the bench. But, you know, I'm just curious if you guys saw anything from him different than you normally see.
That's a good question for you, Tone. You notice things like that. What'd you think?
What's the caller's name?
Tweety.
Tweet. Hey, excellent point. Excellent point. I did notice that. And he was much more, I don't want to use the word subdued. He was a calm coach tonight. And his players fed off it, you know, him having that calm demeanor out there. Players don't like to be embarrassed when they're out there playing. They don't. They don't like coaches in their faces. They like coaches to exude confidence in them. They like for them, when they make mistakes, to say, hey, let's get the next one. We're going to get the next one. But then, you know, in the huddle, when it's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of more privacy, where, you know, you can kind of tell them what they didn't do when what you wanted to get done didn't get done. So I think kudos again goes to Coach Barnes and his staff. For giving his kids the confidence to play with confidence that enabled the Vols to win the basketball game. Great point.
It seems like he just, I don't know if he heard anybody talking. It just seems like, hey, maybe he's trying to take a step back and just say, hey, let's try it a little different. Let's see if I can get different results doing it this way. You guys mentioned like the people winning in the league on the road as opposed to with previously when they never did. I don't know. It just seems like to me maybe I mean, I don't want to dog out the league, but the quality of the league is down overall. The fan support might not be there. I mean, your average, I mean, who really brings any kind of attendance other than maybe us in Kentucky to home games?
Oh, I mean, around the league. It is a soft league. It is straight garbage. I don't think you can say enough bad things about this league. I mean, I don't think it's possible. I don't know how you can have the resources these head coaches and these staffs do and just have the level of play that you do in this league. Tony, you've been at it from two sides. How can it be right now? I mean, the league is so much different than the league you guys came into. It's different.
It's been a downward cycle in the SEC. I would say maybe probably for the last four years. I mean, when I came into the league in 2005, you know, you had obviously Florida who won two national championships. Kentucky was good. LSU was good. Arkansas was good. I mean, it was six, seven teams that was vying for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. Correct.
That's just not happening right now. College basketball is secular though. And it could change. The Florida is having a good year. South Carolina is having a good year. Obviously Kentucky is having a good year. Georgia lost today, to Florida, which probably puts them not on the bubble, but on the outside looking in right now. But, you know, I would say those are the four top teams, that's in the league. You know, Tennessee has to continue to try and play well. And we just can't lose home games. I mean, the only home game we should lose in this league the rest of the way is to Kentucky.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead. I apologize.
Oh, don't worry about it. If we lose any of our other home games that we have on the slate, then you're talking about, somebody that's teetering, of trying to garner posts. Season accolades and postseason realistically is just the NIT. The NCAA is not realistic right now unless we can run the table and win the SEC tournament.
Yeah, I mean, we rarely used to lose at home, and I mean rarely from what I remember. I mean, at least when I was there, we almost never lost at home. People had trouble coming in there and winning, and maybe it was the size of it and all that. I'll leave you guys with one more thing before I jump out of the way. Rick Pitino today came out in support of Grayson Lambert. So hopefully that helps you guys. All right, boys. Be good.
Guys, what's y'all's read on that Grayson Lambert guy? I think it's good to have a kind of a, what's the word? A little color in the game. To have a guy that's a heel. He's certainly a cheap shot artist. Griff, do you have a thought on Grayson Lambert and you, Tony Jones?
I don't.
You do not. Okay. How about you, TJ?
He's a bad boy. He's a guy that the you know, each and every role venue that Duke goes to loves to, you know, they love to hate, they love to point. Just today, it was a little skirmish where he was involved with a loose ball, and then he flexed up on the guy. He did flex up he was about to lose.
What's he doing? Does you think a guy like that, Griff, does he have like anger? Is that an anger deal? What is that when you can't control your emotions?
Just uncontrollable. You're talking about the kid from Duke, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The kid that trips everybody. The serial tripper.
As you used to say, Tony, he's a punk and a clown.
Tony, tonight, DeAndre Burnett with his ankle injury for Ole Miss. I was asked about him a second ago, and he's probably going to be up in the air. He's got this ankle deal going on. Is that a big loss to Ole Miss before we go back to the phones?
Oh, that's a huge loss. I mean, that's a huge loss for Ole Miss. And, you know, obviously Ole Miss don't have very many great players.
Right.
You know, he's one of their better players.
Right.
if not the best player on the team. And they, you know, Tennessee, going down to Oxford, to play, early part of next week. It bodes well for them, if we come out and play the same type of game we play against, against Vandy tonight, to put ourselves in position to garner another important, role win. But, you know, you're going up against, experience and savvy coach and Andy Kennedy. A lot of respect for Andy, and he's going to have his guys ready to play.
And it's Grayson Allen, by the way, just for the sake of the conversation with my, whatever it is I'm dragging around this winter. But, I love it because round two is back in my life. And we're going to go back to our phones and get our next call in. The great Tony Jones, the great Marky Boy Griffin. It is, ladies and gentlemen, your Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. We're 51 minutes into this edition, and I've got about an hour in me tonight, so hang right there. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Guys, I have an absolutely unhealthy hatred for Vanderbilt basketball. That made me so happy tonight. I mean, I've spent my whole life watching them stomp a path to that free throw line. When somehow, I mean, as a team that shoots more perimeter jump shots than anybody in this league, and somehow, when they're down there at home, they stand there and wear the paint out at that free throw line.
I mean, we have heat with them, Bino. Complete
16
heat.
16 free throws to none in the first half.
To none.
I tell you, more people have been hosed down there at Memorial Gymnasium than in the Vivid Studios. I hate that place.
What in the world? Griff, do you have that kind of heat with Vandy yourself? Living in the Mid-State, living amongst those people, you came out earlier. One of the first things you said is they went all back to Belmead. You just went. You went for it tonight, Griff, yourself.
Yeah, I have a dislike for Vanderbilt. I respect their program because the way they play at home. I think they have good kids overall. But I really enjoy any victory during the season other than a Kentucky win. I really would cherish a Vanderbilt win or beating a team like Vanderbilt, especially living here in the Mid-State. And as you may know, Tony, Vanderbilt was the second school that I was looking at attending if I didn't go to UT. It was Vanderbilt, but you know, things happened for a reason. I'm really proud that Tennessee was able to win this game and be in attendance. But it is a hatred for Vanderbilt because it is a rival. I mean, I think we talk about Kentucky being our rival. Well, Kentucky, if you ask Kentucky, they don't say Tennessee is their rival. But if you ask Vanderbilt, they'll say Tennessee is their rival as well. So both teams hate each other.
Bino, continue your rather adult phone call here.
Sorry, I apologize, Tony. I told you I've got an unhealthy hatred for them. I know we can't expect Jordan Bone to play dead letter perfect like he did tonight, but I do believe that's closer to the player that he really is than the one that we've seen to this point after he returned from the stress fracture.
I think you're right. And you know, Griff, the thing about him is he's quicker than a hiccup. As he gets more court time and he gets more comfortable out there, knocking down a shot or two, and people see that on film, will really help open things up in his game, won't it, Griff?
Yeah, because he can go left or right. He's got that quick, really quick first step
yep.
move where it's like one dribble left or one dribble right, quick line drive. It's like a line drive jump shot if
yep.
you think about it. It's not like he has a high loft, but he knocks them down. Good for him. He's got a lot of confidence for for a true freshman. And that's a tough position. You know, you're a quarterback in the team, and that's tough to come in the SEC. Really tough. I think the toughest position to transition in SEC and college basketball is point guard. And he's done an excellent job. And like Coach Jones talking about missing 9 games and what that does to you, it is tough coming back after a 9-game loss. You know, getting everything back together, getting that rhythm and self-confidence of overcoming an injury. So hopefully we'll see many more really good games from him. I don't know if we'll see as consistent as tonight, But if we can get anything close to it, we'll definitely take it.
Fun to watch. Anything else,
guys,
for us,
we're really blessed. We're really blessed that we're going to get an opportunity to watch Grant Williams play basketball for a number of years here. That kid is a really good basketball player. And Mark or TJ, either one, I mean, being a shot blocker like that, that's almost an innate ability, and it almost something that that's a hard thing to work on. It seems like you, especially at his size, you can either do it, you got a gift to do it, or you don't.
How about it, Griff?
No, I agree. I think it's innate. It's just something that you can try to work on in practice, but I just think it's a gift you have or you don't. It's a timing issue, and it's something he's really excelled at, and can be intimidating from the other end, because when you're going inside against a guy that's 6'5", and you're 6'9", and you're getting your shot blocked, you're kind of looking at yourself going, oh, my God, this guy's 4 inches shorter than me. He's blocking my stuff. I better, you know, look at making a different type of move. And you really don't like that if you're a tall player, to have someone shorter than you blocking your shot consistently.
And he had those Vandy front line completely pissed off, Mino, midway through that first half. They were pissed tonight.
I'm telling you guys, he's a man in that paint. He's a rebounding machine too. On the way out, guys, it never hurts. It never hurts to follow Kentucky on somebody's schedule, does it?
No, let's hope that continues.
Yes. Thanks, guys, for being in there tonight.
Love you, Bino. There's no doubt. That whole Kentucky experience, Tony Jones, that'll suck it out of you, won't it, facing those guys? Because Vandy looked like a different basketball team against them last Saturday night.
Yeah, you know, you expend a lot of energy against those athletes, and you know, usually when you're competing against them and you're a SEC team, you're usually gonna come out with a L. And you know, when you lose a basketball game, it's only a couple things you can do. You can be motivated to say, I don't like that taste in my mouth, and I'm gonna get it out. Or, you know, you're going to lack some confidence.
How about the shot blocking, Tone? What Griff was talking about before, the whole, a guy like Williams, just a guy who you would look at and go, God, he's so little. Like you said, I guess it was the first or second time you were on here, you saw him in the Rocky Top League, and you said, geez Louise, I mean, this guy's going to play on this level at that size with his skill set, and yet it works for him.
Yeah, you know, he's obviously he's worked on, he's worked in the weight room, worked in out with the conditioning staff, things of that nature, and then, you know, he has instinct. You know,
yep.
Bill Russell, and I just used to watch film of him. I was a really young kid, but Bill Russell used to block shots, but he didn't block them out of bounds. He blocked them to his teammate, so
mm-hmm.
they can go down in transition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Grant has those type of instincts. I'm not putting him in the class of Bill Russell, but
right.
You know, he just has those instincts to block shots at 6'5". And I think he's, you know, he's a quick leaper. I mean, he's not an explosive athlete, but he's a quick leaper, and he's got exquisite timing that enables him to be able to block shots at a 3-per-game rate, and that's really, really good no matter what league he's playing.
He's got a quick burst, man. He'd be a great defensive end for somebody. I'll tell you that right now. I mean, that guy's got he's got some quicks off that floor. All right, so we've watched him now for about a half a basketball season, a little over. Everybody likes to make this Barkley comparison, and I did earlier in the year, but it's really kind of embarrassing to compare anybody to Charles Barkley, because Barkley was just so unique. And what made Barkley unique was the ability with his girth to run the floor the way that he did. He'd get out in the fast break and take the ball coast to coast. Truly was a gifted freak show. As good as Grant Williams is, and Grant Williams is a nice college player, he ain't Charles Barkley. So let me ask both of you, in the reservoir of knowledge that both of you have, if he's not Charles Barkley, who is he? Who do you guys want to compare him to? Somebody here on either Twitter or Periscope a second ago.